Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. And Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. John Malton, one of our friends in the gold bug industry, had a conference, and Jim Grant was there and gave his talk, but it was followed up by an article that Zero Hedge put on there. Very fascinating because it deals with gold, of course. And Jim's been a friend for a long time. He's a good Austrian economist. He's had this his newsletter going since 1983. And he's well respected enough that even the enemy listens to him and reads him, not just us who have been informed about sound money and the gold standard and what the Fed is up to. But so he had some interesting things there, and I guess the title, and we have it in our title to sort of hint on what we're going to talk about, because the enticement to look at this is all of a sudden Jim Grant says gold is not a hedge. You can't hedge with gold. But we'll talk about that a little bit because he thinks it's much more serious and much more emphatic than just being a hedge against the monetary disaster that he sees. But I want to talk a little bit about how the markets interpret interest rates and how the consensus is. If there's a blip here, the consensus is you sell stocks. A blip here, oh, you buy gold and this sort of thing. And sometimes it's a long-term correct move, and sometimes it means something for an hour or two. So there were some reports out today, some economic reports, and there were some blips because the stocks were way down, and gold was up a bit. Then all of a sudden, some economic news came out, and all of a sudden, the stocks started a recovery, and gold backed way off. And you think, well, is this going to last for an hour, or is this going to last for a day? Because Austrian economists are pretty good at picking trends. I mean, we really can tell then when bubbles form and when corrections are necessary. There's a thing in Austrian economics that teaches that don't even pretend you know the precise moment, because once there's an imbalance, that moment of change can come anytime. It might be something rather minor, but it changes the psychology of things because there's always psychologies involved in the market. This can change things in a minute. But I want to read a couple, headlines today that I found a little bit entertaining. First, the Jim Grant headline was gold isn't a hedge against monetary disaster. But then there was another part on Zero Hedge I thought was interesting because they had several articles. They don't tend to be the most optimistic. They don't come always say, well, everything is going to be rosy tomorrow. They point out what we should worry about. And for the most part, I think they're pretty accurate on drawing attention to what we should be concerned about. But this is what happened this morning when Zero Hedge came out. They said, stunning satellite images of the global tanker oil glut. And I imagine you've seen these pictures. Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships filled with oil not going anywhere. GM, Ford, and U.S. sales tumble in bellwether month of May. That doesn't sound good. Construction spending collapses, worst since April of 2009. U.S. manufacturing weakness since 2009. No comfort for those looking for a rebound. This sounds terrible.
Depressing.
The Federal Reserve has created an unprecedented disaster for pension fund. But actually, I agree with most of these headlines that that's the direction we're going in. But this one about U.S. manufacturing weakest since 2009 was mentioned in another business headline. It said, gold slips below unchanged following upbeat U.S. economic data. I don't know. That doesn't sound very upbeat to me.
Compared to what?
Yeah. But they used in particular the U.S. manufacturing data was released, and they interpreted that it was up. And, of course, Zero Hedge interpreted that it was down. And it's just another example of why it's so tough for people to figure out what to do and who's benefiting and who benefits from this economy. And how does the average guy protect themselves? Should they save? And I'm sure this must have crossed your mind about the desperation a lot of people, even Jim Grant's article doesn't come up other than the monetary reform and things that he believes in. His immediate reaction you know, it doesn't say, well, I know exactly what you have to do, and this will solve everybody's problem. So maybe you have the answers.
Well, I think that's one of the things people complain about the Austrians, because they tend to be doom and gloom because they look at the larger trends. But people want to know, you know, what will happen tomorrow? You know, when will this collapse happen so that I can be prepared? And it's, you know, it's impossible to say that.
Right. Well, Jim, you know, finally concludes by saying, because they ask him, what should we do? And he obviously buys gold, and I'm sure he buys gold shares. We've had him on our program, and he does involve, he doesn't trust the stock market and wouldn't buy bonds. He thinks that bonds are a disaster. But for the average person, all of us are involved in this, whether you have very low income or modestly high income, middle class, where you protected yourself. He says you have to stay in cash. Of course, when you hold cash, you think you're maintaining, but even holding cash, you're losing. So that's how terrible it is. But his terminology was it's not a hedge against monetary disorder. Instead, it's an investment in monetary disorder.
So there's a little term, bit.
There's a difference there, because it's not like if you're hedging. Well, you're hedging against the future. We look at these things and we think there's going. Of course, Austrians have, you know, anticipated bubbles, and they've been basically correct all along. So, you know, this is what it's going to lead to. But all of a sudden, he catches our attention by saying this is not a hedge. It's a much more important thing. What we have to invest it in, and we have to do it in a way that we know it's coming, maybe not soon, but it's more than just a hedge against bad monetary policy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting. You know, one of the things that he pointed out that I thought about for a while is how the West is rejecting gold, and Canada sold off its gold reserves earlier. And, you know, you just mentioned before the show how the UK sold theirs off in the 90s. And but while the West is losing interest in gold, the East is gaining interest in a big way in gold.
Well, unless they've repealed monetary history. Of course, Bernanke claims they have. You know, he was very explicit. Gold is not money anymore, and even if it has been for 6,000 years. So they believe they can change things, and therefore, but central banks, you know, they're taught that gold is important. You know, the Keynesians, even the monetarists, gold is unimportant. But Jim states in there, as others know, that when gold is sold, maybe it's because they're in bad shape. And when a country gets in bad shape, they have a little bit of gold left, they're going to sell it and you know, pay some of their bills. So the stronger economies get the gold. If you look at our own history, whether it was even in Depression times, in World War II especially, we were stronger. We didn't suffer like Europe and the rest of the world had. So all the gold came here, and it's a lot of it has left already. And nobody knows exactly, since we don't get a clear-cut audit of the Fed, and whether they loan it out or sell some or what, but we're supposed to still be, you know, a large gold holder. But for years now, it's been shifting ownership in the West, whether it's England, Canada, United States, other. This gold is leaving and is going to the East, in spite of their ups and downs, and China's facing a correction from their inflation too, but they're still stronger than we are financially because they are a creditor nation. They have a lot of money in the bank. They have $1 trillion of our own money, so they have a little bit of ammunition. So they've been accumulating gold, and instead of this being a dumb thing and why waste your time with gold, they're probably on the right side of history on what you do when ultimately the correction comes. And when this correction comes, it's going to affect the whole world. And therefore, I think the Far East is going to be in better shape than we are.
What's really funny is the, you know, the so-called experts in the punditocracy, they're somewhat conflicted because they like to poo-poo the gold people as being kooky and nutty and this sort of thing. But on the other hand, they have sort of a sense that something is going on with gold. One of the headlines they came across is, U.S. enemies are buying gold. Why? Yeah. And they talk about China and Russia. A couple of interesting stats about China. This is from a CNN report earlier this year. Chinese gold imports have surged 700% since 2010. China takes 40% of the gold that comes out of the ground each year. It's the largest gold miner in the world. And the CNN looks at all these stats and it said, exactly what China is doing with all that gold remains somewhat of a mystery.
A mystery. But even Russia's on the side of accumulating gold. But
208 tons of gold in 2015, Russia took too.
Yeah, so they'll be in better shape ultimately too, because we'll have a lot of paper money, but when they lose confidence in that. There's sort of mixing on their feelings about gold. When I had that conversation with Bernanke, and he says, gold is not money, my question was, well, why do you hold it? Why do you buy it? And he like, oh, tradition. So he didn't have an answer. He didn't say that, well, we have to get rid of it. But I think Jim is right about this. Some of these countries get into trouble and they have to sell it. But I remember asking Greenspan, I guess when the British were selling their gold, and they were selling a bunch. And it had been at the end of the bear market, you know, from the 80s to the 90s, it was in a bear market. And the bull market was starting, gold was down around $300 an ounce on its way to $1,800. And the British Central Bank was selling gold. So I asked him, I said, this doesn't seem to be too smart. And he wanted to assure me, they know what they're doing. They're a lot of smart people managing the money. So that's who's taking care of us.
300 an ounce is so amazing.
But the big question is, why is there such support for it if they don't believe in it? Do they really believe in it? I think they believe in it more than they will admit. But there has to be a reason that the monetary fights are not just in our country in the last 100 years. They've been around for thousands of years. And when you have a somewhat honest government that maintains the integrity of the currency, you can have economic growth and wealth and prosperity and peace for long periods of time. But if once they start tinkering with gold, then there's something wrong. They're trying to cover their debts and all. I remember the conversation I had with Ronald Reagan. He says, there's never been a great nation that went off the gold standard that remained great. That's a profound truth. And we've been off it, and I think our greatness is not so great anymore. But I certainly don't like the transitions around the world. But I think if they just thought about honesty and money is what they need, because it seems so simple from a moral and economic viewpoint. But still, you have to ask, why are there so many groups who behind the scenes? Why is the deep state, you know, like to deal with this? You know, if they were promoting gold, a gold standard, things would be differently. But they protect, they promote the paper standard. And there's quite a few different groups that benefit from that. The welfare state, you know, benefits from it, and many other groups.
People have speculated that the Chinese, sensing the end of the dollar dominance, are acquiring gold at a rapid rate as some sort of a modified gold standard in the future. Do you think there's any truth to that, or does it make any sense at all that they may be looking at that sort of thing?
As a gold standard?
As some sort of a modified gold standard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think so. Because if anybody understands history, once total confidence is lost in the fiat, the only way they've ever been able to restore confidence is they have to cut back and restore confidence in the money as being something of real value and not paper. A good example was after the Civil War. Even though conditions today are much broader, they're international and they're global because of the global standard, the dollar standard. But after Civil War, we had been off the gold standard to print money to fight the war. And then in 1875, there was a Restoration Act, and they had a three-year period. They said we'd quit spending, we would quit printing greenbacks, and we would withdraw greenbacks. And They did that, and the people strangely believed what the government said. And all of a sudden, gold, which was, I think, maybe up to close to $200 an ounce, gradually went down. On the day of resumption, it was $20, and trust was restored. And people didn't even rush to the bank to get their gold because what they wanted was confidence in it. So they restored it. And of course, they restored confidence in the money after the Revolutionary War, when the Continental was destroyed. But they did that with silver. They had a silver standard, and the Spanish mill dollar was used as the standard. So you can do that, but it's just much more of a challenge now. But I think people do know, and that may well be why the people behind the scenes now aren't likely to give up our gold. They might not be as foolish as the British and selling all their gold at $300 an ounce. Even if they were investors, that's a lousy investment to buy paper with their gold when it was $300 an ounce. I think there are many people against us in wanting to have sound money, because anybody who wants to have a big government deficit financing. We live under conditions throughout the world because after the breakdown of the Soviet system, they more or less accepted the American-style interventionism and Keynesianism. And we've been taught, government takes care of us. There's an entitlement system. Take care of everybody. Take care of Wall Street. Deficits don't matter. And borrowing is okay. And just printing money is okay because you can keep the bubble going. And just look at this century, and what Greenspan, everybody said Greenspan kept interest rates too low too long, and that meant he was printing a lot of money, but it's never stopped. And now we're in this tremendous dilemma of what to do with interest rates, because if they raise interest rates a little bit, the market may go down. Now, they've tried it. They threatened to do it. Last week they said, it looks like we're going to raise the interest rates. And everybody said, well, maybe that means a good sign the economy is moving. But Yellen's excuse was, it's near zero, but we need to raise the interest rates a little bit because maybe a recession is coming. And when a recession comes, what we have to do is lower interest rates. So They're in a position where they don't have much of an option.
It's like they're making it up as they go.
that's for sure. They do that, and they will be able to continue that for a while. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today, and these articles on gold are very important, as well as the gold standard, because this problem is going to be resolved eventually. Hopefully we'll do the right thing. Thank you for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Come back soon.